of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, where we begin, cast your eyes upon the 51st verse, where we shall consider, as we extrapolate from the scriptures, certain dimensional elements of God. And just for your pleasure, I researched the Hebrew and the Latin and the Greek and Ebonics. First Corinthians, chapter 15. We picked up at verse 51, but you really have to look at the whole chapter. You really have to look at the whole book to try and see what Paul is saying here and what we can get out of it. We normally use these scriptures when we're having a funeral because we can always come at the end and say, oh, death, where's that sting? Oh, grave, where's that victory? And folks will get excited and make people feel better. But the only problem is everybody who passed away ain't going to heaven. We try to put them there because we want the family to feel good about it. But honestly, if you lived a life of hell and you die in your sins without Jesus, I'm sorry, we're gonna make the family feel real good. And but you on your way to hell, and hell you're gonna live, you need Jesus. Oh, and we're not gonna be rude, we're gonna be tactful. We're gonna be very tactful, and we're gonna tell the family he did the best, he was all right. She was just misunderstood. We ain't gonna say they were crazy and a sinner and wouldn't do nothing nobody say. We're gonna fix it. Because they gone and no need of making the family feel any worse. Because no matter who you are, somebody love you. No matter who you are, somebody love you. And no matter what kind of life they live, somebody love them. And when they pass away, somebody is going to be grieving. It may not be you, but it's going to be somebody. And as saints of God, we ought to have compassion for everybody. But the truth of the matter is, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. Everybody talking about heaven ain't going. So we usually use these scriptures to talk about for situations like that. And it's good that we don't have a situation like that that's directly affecting us very, very, very close. It's always somewhere around. Isn't it something how death is just always somewhere around? Might not be right up on me today, but it's lurking somewhere. I'm hearing stories and things are happening. I want to talk about total victory. Paul ends this writing to the Corinthians with sort of a resolve, an order that we're going to get to, that they ought to remain in a certain way and in a certain condition and with a certain mindset. And that is to be steadfast and unmovable. When we talk about victory, and we look at these texts and we think about the child of God, the child of God will always experience total victory. Total. Because if you read the chapter, Paul makes a point of saying, if in this life we have hope only, we are of all creatures most miserable. No, it's not just in this life, but when this life is over. Not only will I be victorious here, but when this life is over as I know it, I'm going to remain victorious even through death. I'm going to remain victorious even through the grave. You're going to lay me down, I'm going to breathe my last breath, and I'm going to still remain victorious. The world can only offer you temporary pacification, something to make you feel good here. You need something that can give you victory here. Because all of us gonna leave here. And you need something that can give you victory over yonder. And they'll be singing over yonder. Shouting over yonder. And you need victory on the other side also. Victory is not total if you're only victorious right here. If you're only victorious in your finances on earth, but you're not rich in your treasures in heaven. If you're only victorious in your titles and your positions on earth, but have no place in God's kingdom. You only have a nice house here, but no mansion waiting on you over there. You got a nice car here, but you can't drive it in hell. We're going to be walking on streets of gold. So if you are victorious and a big, you know what they call it, the number one stunner over here. What about when you get over there? Because you will be going over yonder. Total victory means I am victorious right now. I am victorious tomorrow. I'm victorious next year. And if the Lord delays his coming and give me life 20 years from now, I will still be victorious. And when I breathe my last breath, I have to lay me down and y'all eat that fried chicken and that potato salad. You can weep for me, but you don't really have to cry for me because I will remain victorious. And in that great getting up morning when he shall ascend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the trump of God, and he shall call for me, I'm going to be victorious and the dead in Christ are going to rise up first. Be caught up to meet him in the air. A child of God will always experience total victory. Total victory. Now, whenever there is a battle, and there must be a battle, y'all. Too many folks want something for nothing. Want a good marriage at no cost. Want a good job at no cost. You want to have good children at no cost. You want to have a good mind at no cost. You want to have good health at no cost. But you still want to eat all them neck bones and fried pork chops and collard greens and ham hocks and everything that move. But you want it at no cost. No, it costs you something. There will always be a battle. If there is no battle, there is no victory. Victory follows battles. How can you say I'm victorious when you've never been in a fight? How can you say I came out on top when you ain't never been through nothing? How can you talk about how you more than a conqueror? But you run from every trial and you run from every battle. And every time things get a little hot, you quit and you throw in the towel and you go somewhere else. You don't have no endurance. You want something for nothing. You can't get victory without the battle. The battle comes with the territory. Ask any boxer if you want this title. Ask Muhammad Ali when he was champion of the world. Say, just give me your title. No, if you want this title, then you got to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Because you can't hit what you can't see. It costs you something. And we want all these victories at no cost. And it costs you. Holiness costs you. To live right costs you something. You can't cuss everybody out and be saved. You got to give up something. You can't hang out every Saturday and Friday night and waste your whole week's paycheck in 2 or 3 hours and then come to church and be saved and holy. You could come to church, but you ain't going to come to church being saved and holy, sanctified. No, give up something. You can't keep everything. There is a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy, righteous and unrighteous. You got to put a difference between it. And if you're not willing to give up anything, then you're not willing for the battle. It costs you. Ask any champion, they'll tell you. I can be a champion and eat what I want to eat. Get up when I want to get up. Go when I want to go. No, it costs me something. And victory always costs. You can't get something for nothing. Salvation is free. But if any man will be my disciple, he's got to deny himself, take up his cross, and then follow after me. Salvation is free, but once I give you the grace of salvation and I accept you into the family, now what are you gonna do? Paul said that I was determined that the grace that was given to me was not given to me in vain. In other words, when he knocked me off that horse and when he saved me and when I knew I was saved, I wanted the world to know that what God did for me was not in vain. He saved me, that was free. But for the rest of my life, I'll serve him. He saved, salvation was free. When you cried out and say, Lord, save me, Lord, forgive me, that was at no cost. But to walk with me, to sit down with me, for me to come in and sup with you, for me to hang out with you, for you to know my ways and to know my thoughts, for me to reveal myself to you, you're going to have to get up some mornings and go down on your knees and read your Bible to be my disciple. You're going to have to bite your tongue every now and then. You're going to have to let the talkers talk and let the haters hate every now and then. You're going to have to take some things and quit running your mouth so much to be my disciple. You're going to have to be like a soldier in a military formation. When I say attention, you got to stand at attention, even if you're sweating, even if flies are flying around you, even if they push you. When I say attention, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to learn how to follow orders. And when I say hush, you got to hush. When I say walk, you got to walk. When I say pray, you got to pray. When I say worship, you got to throw your hands up. When I call the order, you've got to respond. That's going to cost you. Because when I speak, I don't want to hear no how I feel and what they did and where them people at and where everybody else and what about them. That when I call an order, if you're going to be my disciple, it's going to cost you everything you got. It costs something, y'all. To be victorious costs you. Paul lays it out. He writes to them because I believe that he understands that every battle comes at a price. Every battle. And every major figure that we could think of have struggled with the thought of quitting. And I have to throw myself in the picture there. Moses, great as he was, said, Lord, if it's going to be like this, kill me. And that was Moses. Struggled with the thought of quitting. Elijah, after he called fire down from heaven, heard what that old Jezebel said about him. And Elijah, the great prophet of fire, with so much anointing that he could say it ain't gonna rain for 3 years and the rain just ceased. And yet Elijah said, Lord, it's enough. Take my life. In other words, I quit. Jeremiah, you know the weeping prophet, struggled with quitting. He even told the Lord, he said, and I told the Lord, I'm not going to preach no more in your name. Because every time I preach, they throw me in the dungeon. Struggled with the thought of quitting. Then he said, but your word was like fire. Shut up in my bones. I'm struggling with the thought of quitting, but your word was like fire. Shut up in my bones and I couldn't contain myself. Because folks struggle with the thoughts of quitting. Even Jesus got to Gethsemane. The Son of God. Life gets so tough. And Jesus said, Father, if there's any way I can quit, if there's any way possible, if there's any way I can get out of this. And he struggled with it. Then he had to struggle some more and say, but nevertheless, I'm so glad he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Your parents struggle with thoughts of quitting. You got on their nerves so bad. They were so ready for some of us to leave home. I quit. You ain't got to call me mama no more. You ain't got to call me that. Just go on. I wish you well. Do the best you can. Life is like that. But as children of God, don't worry about those struggles of life and quitting. That's common. Everybody struggles with the thought of quitting. Paul lays out how our victory is obtained. Total victory. First off, if you look at it, he lays out the battlefield, and God always seemed to be doing crazy stuff. Don't make no sense to our carnal minds. Can't figure him out. Because we say, right now, Lord, I need you to come through right now. And God said, not now. I need you now. God said, you all right. What am I going to do? Just take it a little while longer. And he has all of these strategies for bringing victory. That's why you can't walk with God and let your mind get closed in on God going to do it this way, or God going to do it that way, or God going to do it this way. Because God got so many tactics. He's unsearchable in his ability to give us victory. Look at this. Paul, in this particular fight, and one that applies to us also, he lays out, first of all, the battlefield and the strategy for this particular fight. Now, a whole lot of us, well, most of us, well, all of us, when death come, we done. When death show up, it's over. May the works I done speak for me. But here, death is where God starts fighting. It's his battlefield. Look how Paul lays it out. He said, behold, look at the arena. I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm going to show you something that's going to boggle your mind. We shall not all sleep. All of us ain't going to be there asleep. But we shall all be changed. Look at the strategy. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, look now, look at the strategy. Look at this. How are we going to do this? The corruptible must put on incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Ain't that something? And that's it? Gonna get a benediction and go home now. That's it? You talking about a great, glorious event, Paul? And that's it. Yeah, that's it. How are we going to win this battle? Look at the battlefield. The battlefield is we're going to die. We're going to die. And some of us looking like, because I ain't rushing that. And some of y'all look, the pastor, don't say that. Don't say them words. Because you start saying them words, pastor, I don't know if I'm ready to die. Yeah, no. Not just the physical death, but those of you that walk with God know, like Paul, know that I die daily. How do I obtain victory? I die. How did I get the victory over alcohol? I die to it.
How did I get the victory over bad habits? I died to it. I no longer respond to it. That's dead. How do I get the victory over things that used to hang me up and trip me up? I died to it. So now that I'm dead to it, when it calls, I don't answer no more, because dead people don't answer. I die to it. How do I handle my bad temper? I die to it. How do I handle my depression? I die to it. How do I handle jealousy and envy? I die daily. I keep on dying, and I keep on dying, and I keep on dying. And every time I die, God changes me. Just like in death, he said we're going to be changed. I know it's a total victory. Not just when we die on the other side. I'm talking about right here and right now. How are you going to be victorious? You're going to start dying. Instead of fighting to live, you're going to start fighting to die. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Anybody got some issues that you're trying to kill, but they are a part of you? And like Paul, you're saying, I've got to die. I spoke too fast. I got to die. I said it too quick. I got to die. That ruined my day too fast. I've got to die. That set me off too quick. I've got to die. That got me. That tripped me up. I've got to die. I'm not dead enough yet. I got to keep on dying. I die daily. I die daily. Why? Because in this mortal body, he's saying, this mortal body can't inherit victory. This corruptible body can't inherit victory. And as long as this mortal and this corruptible is alive, you're always going to be defeated. So how do I get victory? I'm going to die. Then what's going to happen? I'm going to change. I'm going to change. You didn't just overcome. You changed. I'm going to have to come and get y'all again. It's a pattern. I know y'all thought I was talking about physical death, but it's a pattern. You didn't become victorious until you changed. It's a pattern. It's all throughout the Bible. Look at the prodigal son. When he got all that he felt he was owed, the Bible says he went into a far land, spent everything he got, and then one day he came to himself. In other words, he changed. He changed his mind and decided, I'm going to go home, tell my father I done wrong. And his father blessed him, put a robe on him, put a ring on him. Okay, what about Nineveh? When God told Jonah, go preach to them 40 days, Nineveh shall be destroyed. What did Nineveh do? Nineveh heard the preaching. And then Nineveh changed. And instead of destruction, God sent blessings. Y'all still in. Y'all ain't still in with me. What about Doubting Thomas? What happened to Doubting Thomas? He said, except I see him with my own eye and put my hand in the hole where they pierced him at, I won't believe. And then Jesus showed up. And what happened to Thomas? He changed. What happened to Saul when he was on his way to kill the church and to persecute Christians? When Jesus knocked him off the horse and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? What happened to Saul? He changed. Became the Apostle Paul. What about Peter? When he denied Jesus 3 times. What happened to Peter? How did he become victorious? He changed. Went away crying and weeping. Jesus came back and said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. Jesus asked him 2 more times, do you really love me? Feed my sheep. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter, who denied him, stood up with a changed mind and preached the word of God. And over 2,000 souls were added to the church. Now, he changed. It's a pattern. That's in the Bible. Everybody who comes in contact with Jesus changes.
You'll never be the same again. How are you going to be victorious? You're going to change. God's going to change you. The stuff you used to do, you won't do it no more. The stuff that you used to like, you won't like it no more. He's going to change you. Stuff that you didn't have a conscience about doing, now it's going to start bothering you. He's going to change you. You used to be able to sit home on Sunday morning, but he changed you. And now it bothers you to sit home on Sunday morning. Why? Because he changed me. You used to didn't pray when you got up, but now you feel like you ought to pray now. Why? Because he's changing me. Didn't even bless my food. Used to just grab it and eat it, but now something is urging me. I better say a little thank you over this before I eat. Why? Because he's changing me. Used to be ready to fly off at the handle at any minute, but now you're learning how to hold your peace. What happened to you? He changed me. Used to didn't deal with certain people. Used to didn't talk to certain people. Used to didn't even associate with certain people, but now you got love in your heart for what? What happened to you? He changed me. Oh, if you met Jesus and you ain't changed, then you ain't met the man. Because everybody who comes in contact with Jesus, you can't meet him and stay the same. You can't come into his presence and stay the same. You can't even worship him and stay the same. Something's got to change. And when does victory come? When I changed. When I was doing my own thing, wasn't nothing working right. But Lord, when I changed, when I was out there running, doing everything I thought I was big enough to do, taking licks on every side. But Lord, when I changed, when I was on my own, I was fighting on my own. Had to win the battles on my own. If there was a lick thrown, I had to throw it. If there was a chokehold given, I had to be the one doing it. If there was any help, I had to be my help. But when I changed, now the Lord is my battle axe. Now the Lord is my refuge. Now the Lord is everything I need. I used to fight for myself and never got a victory, but now that I've changed and I've learned how to hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, victory. Every time. What happened? I changed. Changed. Why you look so peaceful and so happy all the time? Because I took all the problems out of my hands and I put them in God's hand. I cast all my cares upon him. I changed. I used to carry my kids. I used to carry my spouse. I used to carry my friends. I used to carry the job. I used to carry the bill all on my shoulder. But I changed. I don't carry that stuff anymore. When I found out that he was a burden bearer and a heavy load share, oh, I laid it all at his feet. When I found out I can cast it on Jesus, oh, I changed. And whenever I changed, the battle was not the battle. The battle was me changing. If God could just get me, if God could just get me to trust him, he knows that victory is right there. But the problem was getting me to trust him. The battle was getting me to lay it down. The battle was getting me to think it was all right. The battle was to get me to quit fighting my own battle. The battle was to get me out of the way. But when I died, y'all still don't get it. Let me tell you this way. Before I changed, the devil had to fight me. And that was an easy battle. Before I changed, the devil had to trip me up. And that wasn't hard to do at all.
Before I changed, the devil had to aggravate me, and that was easy to do. But after I changed, after Vidal died, and the devil showed up, he had to fight the greater one that was in me. Because when Vidal laid down, Jesus stood up. And now when the devil comes to battle, Vidal ain't fighting no more. If you can whoop God. Oh, you don't hear me? That's why I changed. Because now I say, yeah, you can have my peace. You can have my joy. You can have all my blessings if you can whoop my God. If you can whoop my God, you can have everything I got because you ain't got to fight me no more. Maybe you're losing because you're still in the fight. There's a song that says, why don't you let go and let God? You couldn't seem to fall asleep. There was so much on your mind, trials and worries and struggles. Just when I start worrying about how the story's going to end, that's when I let go. And I let God. Victory. How did you come out of that? I let God. How did you win that fight? I let God. How did you overcome that? I let God. I got crazy by the way, and when I stepped out the way, there's a God that's mightier than 10,000 chariots. There's a God that rides on the winds of the morning. There's a God that will fight. Oh. And when this God fights, when I let him, when I whoop by and get by out the way finally, when this God show up to fight, it's like he showed up with Moses. He said, the enemy that you see right now, take a look at him. When I get through with him, you won't see him no more. Not now, not forever. That's how my God fights. The struggles you got now, let me get rid of them for you. Let me get in the fight. You won't see it no more. You don't believe me? Is there anybody in here? Has he fought anybody's battle for? Has he dealt with anybody's enemy for them? Now answer this question. Have you seen them again? Have you seen that trial again? Have you seen that enemy again? Victory. I'm going to change you. I'm going to change you. Why? Because your mortal and your corruption can't inherit this victory. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you to death. And in death, I'm going to change you. How quick you going to change? In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen like that. You're going to go from drunk to sober just like that. You're going to go from sinner to saint just like that. You're going to go from lost to found just like that. You're going to go from crazy to at peace just like that. I'm going to change you. No, you can't fight in that state that you're in. So Paul says, I die daily, and in death, I'm changed. Now when the enemy show up, he's looking for the old me, not knowing that Jesus finna answer the door, not knowing that the old me is somewhere buried. I buried him, buried in baptism. I'm buried in baptism, buried in baptism. And when I came up out the water, raised in the newness of life, you fighting a whole different creature right now. You fighting a whole different creature now. Let me go. I got the. He's going to change us. How am I going to do it? No, I'm just going to change you.
I'm going to change you. That mean attitude you got, I'm going to change you. Because ain't no victory in that. I'm going to change you. Ain't no victory in the way you're thinking. I'm going to change you. Ain't no victory in the way you're acting. I'm going to change you. That's how I'm going to do it. Why would he do that? No. Here we go. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The sting of death is the sin. But when I change you from corruptible to incorruptible, when I change you from mortal to immortality, when I put you someplace where sin can't touch you, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin, the law. The only reason sin is as strong as it is because I said so. Because I got a law. The strength of it, the only reason that you're calling them sinners is because I said they were. That's the strength of sin. Because I said, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness, to have no other God before me, to honor thy mother and thy father. I said that. The strength of the sin is the law that I gave. But if I send my son to redeem you from the law, and if I send my son to fulfill the law, and if I nullify and make void the law, then I take away the strength that was in sin, because Jesus paid it all. Oh, death, where is your sting? Strength of sin has been taken away. Forgiveness and redemption is available. Victory. Victory. That's all it is. Victory. It was only sin because I said it was. But now I say I'll wash you whiter than snow. Now I say, as far as the east is from the west, so will I separate your sins away. Now I say again, it is finished. The era of the law, finished. The curse, finished. When he died on Calvary, he said, it is finished. Yeah, over. That's enough. Debt paid in full, redeemed, bought with a price, paid in full, no more payments, finished, overdone. Over with. Paid it all. Paid every bit of it. Which ones did he pay for? Because he died over 2,000 years ago. If your debt was paid over 2,000 years ago, and you just showed up in the 1900s, why you carrying a debt that's already been paid? He paid it before I got here. He already secured my future. He's already declared victory. Let me come and get you, because I got to go. I got to close. When he said it is finished, time got split in two. Boom. Everything that happened before he came, now we got to call it BC. Everything that happened after he came, now they got to call it AD. Old Testament sealed, fulfilled.
I bring in a New Testament. Who did he pay? How did he pay? Who was it for? 2,000 years ago. This is for the first century after me. This is for the second century after me. This is for year 1,000. This is for year 1,500. This is for year 1,700. This is for year 1,800. This is for the 1,900. This is for the year 2,000. This is for the year 2,500. As long as the Lord delays his coming, the debt is paid. The debt. Now, where's your sting? Because sin was your sting. And the strength of sin was the law. Now I fulfilled all that. I took all that away from now. Where is your sting? Now. Why would he do all that? I got to go. Look, but look, when he talks about it, before you get all excited about you, look at this. The glory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God gave it to me. God gave me the victory. God gave me the victory. And if I lose the victory, it's because I gave it up. And the enemy is trying to trick me into giving up the victory that God already gave me. So the glory don't go to me. The glory goes to God. The thanks be to God. Because only God can take the sting from death. And only God can take the strength from sin. And only God can do the redemption that is necessary to save me. The glory goes to God. So when I say thank you, we have to say thank God. I'm so glad he changed me. I'm going to tell you. If you thought the Jaguars record was bad, you should have seen my record before God showed up. I'm so glad he changed me. I'm so glad he changed me. If you thought the Bad News Bears was something to laugh at, you should have saw my life before God showed up. I'm so glad he changed me. So now every blessing, I have to say thanks be to God. Every car I drive, I say thanks be to God. Every day I hold a job, I have to say thanks be to God. Every relationship that I'm able to maintain, I say thanks be to God. Everything I get, I have to say thanks be to God, because if he wouldn't have changed me, ain't no telling where I'd be if the Lord wouldn't have changed me. Ain't no telling who I'd be with if the Lord wouldn't have changed me. Ain't no telling how much I would have lost. Oh, I'm so glad he changed me. Because the way I was, I would have lost everything. I'm not going to say I wasn't blessed. I was blessed. I was blessed, but I was crazy. So every time I got blessed, I wasted it. Every time I got something good, I tore it up. Every time something was going right, I messed it up. But when the Lord changed me, now I'm able to hang on to blessings. Now I'm able to hang on to things that he gave me. I'm so glad he changed me. Thanks be to God. He gave me the victory. He gave it to me. Last thing, and I'm gonna go. He gave it to me. And Paul lays all of this out, and he sums it up in that last verse with the orders that he gave the church. He said, now, considering all of this, therefore, because of this, because of what I've just explained to you,
Because of what I just broke down to you about the incorruption and the corruption and death swallowed up in victory. Because of, therefore, be ye steadfast. Don't be steadfast because you're hoping to win. Be steadfast because he's already given you. You don't understand. I'm not fighting because I want to win. I'm fighting because I already got the victory. I'm not fighting trying to win. I'm fighting because I got the victory. I don't want the land because I just want it. I want it because it's mine. Some of y'all missed it. Some of y'all still fighting. There's a saying that says, let's say it like this. The wise do not become angry in battle. Only a fool will fight to win. But the wise win before the fight. See, this is the mystery. This adds to the mystery. Most people fight to win. But you're telling me you already got the victory. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're telling me it's already yours. Yep, that's what I'm saying. It's mine. I am victorious. That's why I remain steadfast. That's why I remain unmovable. That's why I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because I am victorious. I ain't trying to be more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I'm not trying to be victorious. I am. It's present tense. I am victorious. Because of this, let me come back and get you one time and I got to close. Because you are victorious. Because he has given you the victory. Don't sit back like a stump on a log. He's given you the victory. Take the land. He told Joshua, I've given you the land. I've given you Jericho. I've already given you the victory. You haven't assembled not one formation, but I've already given you the victory. You haven't even given the order yet, Joshua, but before you even talk to Israel, I want you to know I have already given you the victory. What battle are you trying to win? Oh, the devil got so many of us fooled. He got us fighting for stuff that we already got. Fighting for stuff that he already got. You ain't got to fight for the victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind, because victory today is mine. When I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I knew that the Lord would bring me out. I got down on my knees, said, Lord, help me, please. And I got up singing, shouting, victory. It's all ready mine. So don't struggle with quitting. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Don't you let nobody, don't you let nothing move you off of your victory. Don't you let no devil elbow you off of your victory. Be unmovable. Don't you be up today, down tomorrow. Don't you be in today, out tomorrow. One way this day, one way the next day. No, unmovable. Always abounding. Always abounding. When it comes to God, we ought to be abounding. Always abounding. When I feel like it, I'm abounding. When I don't feel like it, I'm abounding. When they talking about me, I'm abounding. When it's going my way, I'm abounding. When it ain't going my way, always abounding in the work of the Lord. know. Am I living in vain? Am I praying? Don't look like nothing happening. Am I praying in vain? Am I treating these people right? And seem like they still treat me any kind of way? Is my kindness in vain? Am I loving in vain? Am I serving in vain? Paul said, no, of course not. Your works is not in vain in the Lord. Ask that. Not only in this life will I be victorious, but when I cross over to the next life, I cross over victorious. And whatever I didn't get my reward at on this side, I ain't even worried about it. Because it's not in vain. If I don't get it all here, I'm sure there's enough in glory to make up for everything I didn't cover and gather up down here. I'm sure there's enough on the other side. Is it in vain? No. Of course not. It's not all in vain. All that work I did, it ain't in vain. If it was done for the Lord, it's not in vain. Now, if you've worked for your house, one day that house gonna fall apart, probably falling apart right now. And you're gonna say, I did all that in vain. Solomon said it like this: I looked at the food and I looked at all that I had. I got men servants, I got vineyards, I built houses and palaces. People were born in my house. And I looked at the food. Say, and the same thing happened to the food gonna happen to me. And who knows if the one that come behind me gonna be wise or if they gonna be a fool. He said, that was vanity. But what I did for the Lord. Folks may not appreciate you, but what you do for the Lord. They say there's a book of remembrance. And when I come up to make up my jewels, God said, they shall be mine. What you did for the Lord, trust me, it's not in vain. If you sung a song for him, not in vain. If you love somebody for him, not in vain. If you did a work for him, not in vain. So considering all of this, let's be steadfast. Let's be unmovable. Let's always abound in the work of the Lord. For your labor, it ain't in vain. Total victory. Victory. Y'all remember that? For the saints of God, victory is total. On this side and the other side. How's it gonna happen? God said, I'm gonna change you. Thanks be to God. He make us victorious. Stand with me. Thank you, Lord.